We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
There were high expectations for Hunter Dickinson coming into this season. It's going to happen when you're a consensus top 50 recruit and one of the best centers in America, committing to someone who's had his fair share of success in the front court during his playing days in Juwan Howard. We saw plenty of positives from Hunter and the team as a whole on Wednesday night in the convincing win over Bowling Green, but that was part of a comprehensive victory with plenty of help from others and not a whole lot of debate about the result for much of the contest. This, on Sunday, was different. Michigan was teetering. Oakland was gaining confidence. Michigan was turning over the basketball. Oakland was taking advantage. And then Hunter Dickinson took over, scoring or assisting on 26 of Michigan's final 35 points. He wasn't just part of a dominant win. He was the reason, the primary reason, Michigan rallied to win in overtime. And Dickinson did it in so many ways. Great passes, timely rebounding, key free throws, and of course, plenty of great offensive moves in the paint. When Hunter committed to this program, no one would have blamed you if you thought about performances like this, even expected performances like this at some point in his career. But to get it in game number two, that's pretty darn impressive. The sky is the limit for this young man, and he showed off his immense potential when the Wolverines desperately needed it. We'll hear from Hunter Dickinson and his head coach here on our post-game edition of Defend the Block.
We're talking Michigan basketball. Welcome to Defend the Block, where we'll take you inside the basketball programs with interviews, analysis, and so much more. Now, here's your host, Brian Bush.
My three other takeaways from this one, an 81-71 overtime victory for the Maize and Blue over Oakland. Number one, we all knew that Michigan was favored to win this one significantly. Oakland went 0-3 in the Xavier Invitational, was playing its fourth game in 5 days. But if you've ever doubted the importance of the turnover battle, here is a prime example. It's not just important, it is an equalizer. Michigan was ahead in pretty much every statistical category at the half, except for two, the score and turnovers. The Wolverines coughed up 15 in the first 20 minutes, and we'll hear Juwan Howard's quote-unquote PG version of what his halftime discussion was like with the team here in a bit. I think it was premature to glean too much from Wednesday's game. Impressive against a Mid-American Conference contender in Bowling Green, and I'd say the same from a negative standpoint about what we saw on Sunday. The reality is, Michigan won't win many games, and probably any games, in the Big Ten if they commit 20 turnovers or 15 in one half. It's just not going to happen. They'll clean things up. There's work to do in that category, but I don't think it's necessary to overreact to what was a sloppy game from a turnover perspective. Number two, Terrence Williams II. Man, you could see the chemistry that he and his former AAU teammate, now current collegiate teammate Hunter Dickinson, possess. Williams is still raw. He's going to make his mistakes. But Phil Martelli said something to the media a few weeks back that really rings true, and it was shown here on Sunday. Terrence Williams impacts winning. He did that and then some on Sunday. The positives far outweigh the negatives with this young man. He was one of the reasons Michigan pulled this thing out. And what impressed me the most, and something I will remember after this ball game, he went 1-for-5 at the free throw line. And about 20 minutes after the game, Terrence was out there on the floor practicing his free throw shooting. Those are areas where he's going to get better. He's going to make his mistakes. He's going to have his freshman moments, but he's also going to have some plays like he did on Sunday where you're thinking, man, this guy is massive to this team. He's going to play meaningful minutes for Michigan all season long, and those meaningful minutes, Michigan had to have them Sunday. Lastly, a hat tip to Oakland. What a gritty effort. This is a program that paused for about 3 weeks due to a COVID outbreak within the program. They did not have really any success at the Xavier Invitational earlier this week, but this is a really good program with a legendary head coach in Greg Campy. They didn't care if no one believed they would win this ballgame. They were picked to finish sixth in the Horizon League. I'd be shocked if they did not outperform that. Once this team gets into a more normal routine, can get back into more in-depth practices, something that Coach Campy has talked about, they've barely been able to install anything because of the outbreak and then the start of the season. They've got talent, and here's to more Michigan-Oakland games in the future. Yeah, this one was stressful from a Michigan perspective, but it is good for this state's basketball scene, for these two programs to play every once in a while. All right, let's get the thoughts of the national champ, Terry Mills, on Sunday's overtime win.
Terry, Hunter Dickinson scored or assisted unofficially on 26 of Michigan's final 35 points. What'd you see from a young man who Juwan Howard called a seasoned vet after Wednesday's game? Might call him a star after this one.
Yeah, just making all the right decisions. You know, I mean, usually you get a guy that you throw it down in there to him, he forces it, make turnovers. All good things were happening when he touched the basketball. And, you know, they say one of his biggest assets is being able to pass the basketball. But he showed that he can dominate and he can score inside. And I'll tell you what, he did it on both ends. I mean, I thought he altered some shots down here on the defensive end. And if it wasn't for Hunter, we'd be in a world of trouble.
And he wasn't the only freshman who really provided a jolt. Now, Dickinson was the leader from that perspective, but he and Terrence Williams, former AAU teammates, you saw the connection there. Williams, in the second half, made some huge effort plays. Along with Dickinson, that combination helped kind of revive this team that was really, there was a lull there for a bit.
Yes, it was. And Terrence Williams played a hard-fought ball game. I think he's kind of finding his niche about what he can bring to this team. Sure. And that grit that he brought to this game with that rebounding, you know, defensive on the other end, that extra hustle play, earned him some extra minutes. And if he can do that, he'll continue to play.
Now it's time for the efficient performance of the game powered by DTE Energy. This Michigan team was not efficient in the first half. They committed 15 turnovers, but you said it, Terry. 5 turnovers would be what we would see in the second half. Well, it was 5 in the second half and in overtime. What changed?
Well, you know, they basically took care of the basketball. They stopped lobbing passes and things like that, and they heard the message that Juwan gave them at halftime, and that kind of rang out. And I guarantee you that I'll have to ask him about it in the post game and try to get the PG version if you can. But that message was felt.
Yeah, and that second half effort was our efficient performance of the game powered by DTE Energy. If you want to learn how to be more efficient at home like the Wolverines, go to DTEinteractiveHome.com to find out how. Isaiah Livers leads everybody with 22. He was 8 of 12 from the floor. He had a few turnovers in there, battled some foul trouble, but Michigan trusted him with that foul trouble, and he hung on with those 4 fouls for a while.
He did, and that's the leadership that you're going to need down the stretch, you know, and he provided that, and he did it on both ends. And, you know, I thought maybe he got a little antsy there toward the end and kind of reached in and didn't get called, but I mean, he responded, and that's what we're going to need for him going forward.
It was not easy, Terry, but at this stage, considering everything that's happened in the offseason, you'll take a win. There's plenty to clean up, but the opposite, if you lose this game, there's a lot more potential issue
yeah,
there.
Yeah, you want to stay on that left column. You know, as long as you're on that left column, never heard of an ugly win. Mm-hmm. You know, wins are always good, ugly losses, but – hey, I'm glad Michigan was victorious here today.
Now to the post-game interviews. We begin with the head coach, Juwan Howard.
Coach, after Wednesday's game, you called Hunter Dickinson a seasoned vet. Why was he able to really lift your ball club when it needed it most?
Well, I mean, he came in with some force on a low block, making sure that we got, you know, either a bucket when the ball went into him or a foul. And with some of their guys being undersized, I wanted to make sure that we had an opportunity to throw the ball in because we was not shooting the ball well from the outside. And I'm not going to sit here and live and die by the jump shot. We got to get some easy ones. And Hunter and Terrence was a big lift for us in that second half.
Yeah, Coach, 15 turnovers at halftime. I went on record and said they'll have five in the second half, and that's exactly what it was. Not that I'm the water boy or anything like that. This is a family show. Give me the PG version of what was said at halftime.
Oh, my God. Hey,
if you have one, Coach.
You know, that's a great question. You know, one of those timeouts in the first half, I tell you one thing, it wasn't a PG version. But, you know, just – to try to ignite our group, holding them accountable on not, you know, being able to do their job, being very passive out there, I thought. Our passes also was very undisciplined-like. We were just lobbing the ball over, you know, across the floor. And you know, they know it. They watch film. We talked about it before the game. We talked about it the last 2 days in practice about this team with their zone. They're going to be very active with active hands. That we got to be disciplined with the ball. We have to take care of the basketball. We have to value it. But giving up a team 20 extra possessions, that's not, you know, a way of how you can win a ball game. And fortunately for us, we were able to find ways, especially in the overtime, to dig deep to be able to get this victory. But we can't have a daily dose of gifting team extra possessions. Our goal is always to be under 11 turnovers. And right now, you know, five in the second half. Yes, there were some adjustments made by keeping it simple.
Gotcha.
You know that rule, they say kiss rule?
That's it. You got it.
You alluded to Terrence Williams, and he's a young man who he's a freshman, played AAU ball with Hunter. They know each other well. Terrence is going to work through some mistakes here and there. He made a couple tonight, but the good outweighed the bad so significantly. What did his spark do for your club?
Huge spark. You know, you have a coach that trusts him. Yeah. And, you know, we as a team trust what he brings to the table because the kid knows how to play. And I was looking at, you know, second half, who can give us that spark. And that light bulb went off where I said, you know what, I'm going with Terrence and Hunter. And they've played a lot, you know, with each other when it was like they were in their AAU days when they were younger. But more importantly, I know their strength and toughness on how they compete. That they'll be ready to deliver. And fortunate enough, they gave us the spark we needed.
Yeah, Hunter had some kind of ridiculous number that we kind of charted up here. And I think with him touching it, like, what was it, Brian?
26 of the final 35 were scored or assisted by Hunter.
Yeah, and I know you as a coach, you've got that old school mentality like I have. And you're not changing the play. And I kept saying, we're going to Hunter no matter what. He's not changing the play.
You're right.
You know?
So, until you stop it.
That's it. That's the old school mentality.
Yes.
Lastly, Coach, Isaiah Livers, 22 points. He leads the way. And he had to battle foul trouble. He stayed on that edge, four fouls for a while. How was he able to help alleviate those foul issues and stay in the ballgame?
Well, you know, he's a senior. So it's not his first rodeo. You know, he knows that, you know, he's very valuable to this team, and we need him out there with his leadership as well as his shooting and his length. You know, you have a team that, you know, they do a really good job of, you know, drawing, you know, offensive fouls. But I, like I told him, you know, you got to guard without fouling, no reaching. And then at one time he reached, I almost lost my heart because, you know, it could have easily been his fifth foul. And, you know, that's very undisciplined-like. But he's going to watch it on film. And, you know, film, as we all know, doesn't lie. It tells everything. But it's going to be some great teaching moments to learn.
It doesn't surprise me. I'm sure it doesn't surprise you either. Terrence Williams just came out to the floor to shoot some free throws. So he's back at it as well. I know, Coach, you and the rest of the team will be as well. We appreciate the time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
There's Coach Howard's thoughts after Sunday's overtime win. We spent plenty of time, as you'd expect, talking about Hunter Dickinson. Here's our conversation with the freshman himself.
Hunter, you provided such a spark for this ball club. What was key for you in allowing you to really carry the load in a lot of cases here down the stretch tonight?
I think the team just really played unselfish in the second half. I think the first half, the zone was giving us some trouble. It's a pretty not conventional zone. It's like a 1-1-3, and it was pretty hard for us to attack at first. I think the second half, we just settled down and we started attacking it, picking it apart, and teammates just really were playing unselfish out there.
Well, Hunter, it seems like to me you knew what to do in that zone, and that ain't the first time that you've seen a zone. I'm quite sure you've seen every zone, box and one imaginable in high school. How are you able to score down low like that?
For sure. Zones, I mean, they're not too challenging for me. Like you said, I've seen it my whole life. So I'm starting to get comfortable with them. And Coach Howard just has a really good offense out there, putting me in good spots, putting my teammates in good spots where we will be successful.
You didn't have to know that you and Terrence had played some AAU ball together. You could just watch it out there tonight, and you could see the connection there. How did you two kind of collectively help this ball club with some energy, with some productivity?
Yeah, once Coach Howard put us both in at the same time, we knew that we needed to provide a spark off the bench. Our team needed it. And, yeah, we've been playing together since we were, like, knee-high, so we're pretty comfortable with each other. We know what each other's trying to do, especially in the zone. So we work really well together, high-low.
Yeah, Hunter, I elected you to shoot technical free throws as you were knocking them down, coming down a stretch. All of a sudden, you missed two free throws. What happened?
I'm not sure what happened on that one.
Yeah, it's like I like a Hunter to shoot free throw for technical free throws, and all of a sudden you came up short on that. But overall, I thought you played extremely well. You were very patient. What was your mind thought sitting on that bench, not being in there for a long period of time?
Just staying ready. Coach always says just stay ready, stay in the moment, so you never miss your chance. I knew once he came to me, I would be ready for it because I was locked in, trying to cheer on my teammates, trying to make sure that they're playing with energy because, like you said, we have to provide the energy ourselves, especially on the bench for our teammates in the game. So everybody has to stay locked in on the sidelines, cheering on their teammates. So when they're in, they're into the game. They know what they're doing.
Lastly, Hunter, you talked about during the lead up to the season how you were frustrated with your conditioning early on. Once you guys could actually get on the court and practice, you put up 25 minutes a day. You were out there much of the late stages of the game. How have you evolved from that perspective, and how you feeling now after a 25-minute performance?
I feel pretty good. Like my adrenaline was really going in the second half. I don't think I was tired at all the second half. That's just Coach Sandman and Coach Howard really making sure we're in shape in the off season, and then they've done a really good job during the season to make sure that we're not too tired, but we're still getting in better shape as we go through the season. They're doing a good job with us, not killing our bodies, but making sure we're getting better every day.
Heck of an effort, Hunter. Congratulations. We appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Let's wrap things up with our highlight recap. Here's our studio host on the radio network, Rob Joyce.
Time to look back on this one. Michigan in search of a 2-0 start to the season against an Oakland team playing its fourth game in 5 days to start the year. But it was a sloppy start to this one. Nearly as many turnovers as makes for both teams in the early going. That was the theme of the first half as well. 8 minutes in, only a 2-point Wolverine lead. 17-15, despite the maize and blue getting off to a good shooting start.
Inbound is Jackson. Now to the right corner, Brooks. Back to Brown, right wing. Over Jackson, high on the left. 8 on the shot clock. Michigan by 2. 10 minutes to play, first half. Brooks, right corner. Triggers a 3. Bangs down a 3. And Michigan's up by 5 again.
Eli Brooks, Isaiah Livers, and Sean D. Brown hit 4 of Michigan's first 7 three-point attempts, and that helped give the Wolverines a lead as large as 8, 27-19, before Oakland tried to chip away, and Michigan certainly helped. 15 first-half turnovers allowed the Golden Grizzlies to evaporate what was that 8-point lead.
Moore step-back 3 in and out from the right point. Offensive board, Oladapo going up against Williams. He'll fling it up there from 5 and score from the paint. We're tied at 29, 2 minutes to play first half. Timeout, Juwan Howard in Michigan.
And despite shooting just 33% in the first half, Oakland went into the break up by 2, 33-31 after Trey Townsend made a bucket in the waning seconds of the first half. So how does Michigan respond? You just heard Juwan Howard say halftime wasn't exactly PG. After battling first half foul trouble, Mike Smith goes coast to coast to tie it up. Then he sparks the transition game.
Young, another three. This from the right wing. It's a little bit off to the right. And Mike Smith comes down with the Michigan rebound. He'll soar to the front court. Hand off right wing. Livers a three. You betcha. Michigan, a quick 5-0 spurt. Timeout, Greg Campy in Oakland. That's how you start a second half.
That briefly gives Michigan the lead, but Oakland comes out of that timeout with back-to-back triples of its own to take a 39-36 advantage right back, and it's game on once again. And all of a sudden, Michigan finding itself playing catch-up, down by as many as six on multiple occasions. The teams traded baskets for the next 5 or so minutes, near identical shooting numbers, as the Golden Grizzlies kept Michigan at bay nearing the midpoint of the half. Then Michigan got some much-needed energy from the freshmen. Hunter Dickinson and Terrence Williams II combined to score 9 straight Michigan points to pull to within 1, 66-65. Then Dickinson would give the Maize and Blue the lead back.
On the right wing, Michigan keeping it over there. Two-man game with Brooks. Brooks to Smith at the point. Feed it in toward Dickinson. One dribble, banks it up there. Yes, and Michigan takes the lead. With 8 minutes left, it's the Hunter Dickinson show as of late. 57-56 Wolverines.
The freshman just getting going, and with 8 minutes left, it's 57-56 Michigan. But then a fun little game started. A few minutes later, Oakland ties it up. That Williams-Dickinson combo hooked up again to make it 61-59. Then again, Oakland ties it. Dickinson, a dunk to make it 63-61. Guess what? Oakland ties it again, and Dickinson this time, instead of scoring himself, creates for a teammate.
Dickinson fires to Livers, who will go in and cram it. A two-hand stuff from Isaiah Livers on a great feed cross-court from Hunter Dickinson. 65-63 Wolverine.
That's with 4 minutes to go, a two-point Michigan lead, and you'll never guess what happens again. Oakland ties it, and Dickinson finds Livers again on the ensuing possession, 67-65 Michigan. Eventually, they stop doing that. Inside of 2 minutes, both teams suddenly can't buy a bucket. 5 consecutive misses by the two teams combined, 28 seconds left. It's still 67-65 when Oakland goes to the line for a 1-1. Rashad Williams makes both. That ties it at 67 with 28 ticks to go. A disjointed possession later, we're off to overtime. Hunter Dickinson, who else, opened the scoring in the extra session. In fact, he scored the first 6 points by either side, a bucket and 4 free throws. 2 minutes left in OT, it's 73-67 Michigan. Dickinson scored or assisted on 26 of Michigan's 29 points from the final 11 minutes of the second half through the first part of overtime. Then finally, with Oakland ice-cold shooting, the Wolverines able to put this one away. Today's Call of the Game, brought to you by the sports medicine experts at Michigan Medicine.
Michigan up by 6, 100 seconds left. Here's Brooks. He splits 2, drives to the painted area, flings it up there. No, Dickinson fighting for the board. Had it for a moment, saves to Brown. Brown able to get it from going out of bounds. Kick Wagner now to the left point. Livers for a 3, bangs it down. Michigan up by 9. Isaiah Livers has 19.
That's today's Call of the Game, brought to you by Michigan Medicine. Learn how U of M sports medicine experts can help you stay in the game at uofmhealth.org/sportsmedicine. Livers adds another dagger from deep in the final minute to finish with a game-high 22, and it was not easy. It was not what was expected, but Michigan wins it 81-71.
All right, Rob, thank you very much. We appreciate your hard work on the broadcast, and that'll do it for this post-game edition of Defend the Block. Big week ahead here on MGO Blue Podcasts. We will have the radio replay coming up on Monday night of Inside Michigan Football. John Jansen catching up with head coach Jim Harbaugh and others for the latest on Michigan football. A Defend the Block post-game edition set for Wednesday, as Michigan will host Ball State coming up at 7 o'clock Wednesday night. And also In the Trenches Thursday and Friday, getting you set for the Wolverines and Maryland, the last scheduled home game for Michigan football at the Big House. Well, that'll do it for me, Brian Bush. Wolverines win it in overtime over Oakland 81-71. Thank you so much for listening, and go Blue.
Thanks for listening to today's edition of Defend the Block, part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network, MGO Blue Podcasts. The preceding is a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable.
Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.